Lord, let the words of our mouths and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight. O thou who art our strength and our redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Giving honor to the Lord of all earth and of my life most certainly. With gratitude to Pastor Armstrong and all of you on this Sunday morning. In two more weeks, my first sermon would have been preached 76 years ago. I have spoken from this pulpit at least one time, I know, when my brother, who was a member of this church for many years, Reverend Dr. Louis Mitchell, my next oldest of the three Mitchell brothers. They're gone on now, but the Lord has let me stay here, and it is a joy always to speak for the Lord. I appreciate what Reverend Armstrong did just a minute ago, because I told him I would have to peep over the pulpit. And he figured out a way to help me. I really appreciate that. I plan to preach today, as I teach preaching in seminaries. So I have to warn you that I'm going to preach 2-3 sermons, or at least 2-3 stories. Jesus preached with stories, you know, they call them parables. And they all had lessons, but maybe you did not know that the black church pulpit has the same tradition and has all through these years followed what Jesus did. Two stories. One is a story, as Jesus did. They were not historic. They were not something that actually happened, but they had a lesson. And the second story will be a personal testimony, a story out of my almost 96 years. I shall talk the story. I was given a special privilege to spend a little time, a very short time, a very brief period inside the walls of heaven. So now I will be in heaven. As I looked down the cobble first street that I landed on, I saw a very distinguished looking man, and somehow something told me that must be Apostle Paul. So I walked up to him. I said, "Sir, could you by any chance be Apostle Paul?" He said, "I certainly am. And who are you?" I said, "Well, I'm from Mercer County in the place called the United States. And over there they let me preach sometime." I would be anxious for you to know that next to Jesus, you are the second most important person, the most beloved person in all of the New Testament. I really admired you, Paul. But I will admit that every now and then you used to get on my nerves. "You what? What?" I said, "Yeah, well, you had a couple little things that I didn't enjoy." I said, "What was that?" I said, "Well, there was this little mission church in this town in Thessalonica, and you did what you frequently did, or fairly frequently did. You laid it on them entirely too strong. Over in your first letter to Thessalonica, you write at the 16th verse, "Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ concerning you." Thanks in everything? Yes, everything. You can see why I wasn't too happy about you. Well, did you expect those young Christians to do this? In fact, did you yourself live up to something as strict as that? In everything, give thanks. Paul said, "Well, I was given thanks in everything." You were? Well, let me give you some examples. I'm in chains before a king and a Roman governor, and I spake unto them, saying, "I count it a privilege to be able to speak before this court." And I meant it. I actually counted it a privilege. You see, first of all, most of the time, people don't get to preach to kings and governors, and I had both of them. And not only did I have them there before me, they were what you might call a captive audience. They had to listen. You see, I'm a Roman citizen, and Roman citizens have to be heard. And so the king, who might otherwise have done somebody like they did John the Baptist, but they had to hear my testimony. It was a privilege to be before such a group as that, and they had to listen. They couldn't go otherwise, and that's why I said it. And I said it in all seriousness. It's a privilege, and I'm thanking them, even though I am in chains. Well, give me another one. Well, you've heard about me and Silas. We was in jail, and our feet were in the stocks, and we couldn't move them. And if a rat wanted to bite us, we couldn't fight him off even. And what were we doing down there in the dungeon where all of the rats and everything else were? We were singing praises to God even then. Does that satisfy you? Well, I got to admit, it's in the record that Paul and Silas were down there praying and singing and praising God. Let me give you another example. I'm in Rome, and I am in house arrest, and I spend my days writing indeed more of the New Testament than any other single writer. And they had a soldier chained to my left hand. So I had days and weeks and months to use this other hand to write all that stuff you folk used to read after a while. And I was glad to be able to write with no disturbance, just me and that soldier. And then if my hand got cramps, you didn't have ball points in those days. They had feathers and quills, and it took a while to write a sentence to say much less a whole chapter and a whole book and many books. To step aside for a second, many years ago I was pastor of a church in the valley in Central California, and we were studying the Bible, and I wanted them to get a feeling about how it goes when people copied Bibles, and why it was 1,500 years before people could get a Bible at all, because before that they were all handwritten, and that with a feather pen. You can imagine how long it took to write. Well, my folk, I tried to get them to copy one chapter, and nobody did. They got ball pens, and they couldn't copy it. So you could see what Paul was going through. But when his cramps got too bad, he could lay it down and preach to his guard. And if his guard got sleepy, he could jiggle the chain and wake the guard up and make him listen. Now, that's interesting enough. But the really interesting thing happened long after I had left the earth. Somebody was digging around up in Germany and found some relics of Christian worship. And they said, what is this thing doing here when its age is at the time of Paul and Jesus? How would Christian faith get all the way up here? And then they realized what had happened. A soldier had a one-day shift, and if he got enough one-day shift soldiers, and enough of them got converted, as many did, and they land up in Germany, one day one will look at the pack on another one's back and say, what is that Christian symbol doing on your pack? He said, well, I was listening to this preacher they had chained to me, and I confess faith in Jesus. Well, enough of those happened, and people in servants' homes of Christians in Rome could all get together, and eventually, that early in the life of the Christian church, there was witness in Germany, way up there in Germany. How did it happen? It happened because, well, I'm a former full-time missionary with a budget on my mind, and I think it took a few million dollars to put those Roman roads up there, but some of those Roman roads are still there. And then you had all of these soldiers up there, and on the Roman budget, you put a road in for the soldiers to become missionaries to carry the gospel all the way up to Germany. Now you see why I'm happy about it? I'm happy about everything. Everything happens. I thank God. So let me tell my own story now. I was about 12, 13 years old. There was a clique of boys who sat together a bit, and we had a terrible habit. There was a deacon named Deacon Jackson. And every time he prayed the same prayer. And we sit there and giggled and laughed. And we were particularly interested in how all this happened, he had the same sermon. But then we were particular same prayer, but particularly we were interested in some of his language. He said, "We thank you, God, that you have lengthened out the bones of the days of our lives." And he had a special way of saying it. "Thou hast lengthened out the brickly threads of our lives and bid our golden moments to roll on, and as this morning finds us in a house that is called the house of prayer." Well, come ahead 25 years, and I'm in a winding cloth, but it's a winding cloth on a steel bench, so to speak, with a television camera on the place where I was being operated on for 100% blockage of a major artery. In other words, I was in gross and close danger of leaving this world. And suddenly there came to my mind these same words: "God has lengthened out the prickly threads of this unpardonable life and bid our moments to roll on." Suddenly, I realized that what that deacon prayed was the best prayer I could think of to do. What I was thinking about doing was, I could have shouted right there if I hadn't been wrapped in a wrapping cloth on a surgeon's table. I was looking, by their request, at the camera picture that showed what I was doing. And behold, I wanted to pray that prayer just like that deacon prayed it. He prayed it better the way he prayed it than I will ever pray it for. I was really surely aware that God was lengthening out the prickly threads of this unprofitable life, and this morning finds me 20-odd years later still praying, because the prickly threads are still working, and the prayer that brother prayed. Yes, rejoice always. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God through Jesus Christ concerning you. And last Thursday, we all went through the motions. May it be that we too may be aware that somebody in heaven is keeping track, no doubt, but all of us have had the prickly threads of our unpardonable lives extended on this planet. Amen.
Everyone standing to their feet. We all have had our lives extended, and for this we ought to give thanks in everything. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. verses 18 through 22. Deacons and deaconess clergy, ministers are helping to extend the invitation to Christian discipleship. We invite all of you and any of you who have never made a decision for the Lord to come on this day to let go and let God. Choir is going to sing, and as they sing, if you don't have a church home, we want to invite you to come and unite with us here at the Shiloh Church. Secondly, and most importantly, if you don't know the Lord Jesus for yourself, this is an opportunity for you to respond to the gospel message, to give thanks in everything, for this is the will of God, the will of our Christ. God bless you. Let the Lord lead you. Go ahead and sing, choir. Lift up your voices.